This is an important parable for capturing how we are to think as Christians. And it's pretty interesting in the sense of how Jesus uses the example of this dishonest steward to highlight the importance of resourcefulness when it comes to living out our faith. And so here we have this dishonest steward. He's going to get fired because he has been squandering his master's property. He hasn't been fulfilling his duties, been self-serving. And so he knows he's going to get canned, right? And so he thinks, okay, I got to preserve myself, self-preservation here. Well, I'm too ashamed to beg, and I'm not strong enough to dig. What am I going to do? So he still has authority under his master as a steward, and so he works out and negotiates deals with some of his master's clients, right? And so one owes 100 measures of olive oil. Another owes a number of cores of wheat. And so what does he do? Well, you owe 100, let's knock that down to 80. So what's his hope there? Well, I'll do something good for you, and then you'll take care of me when I'm thrown out onto the street. And so Jesus says, this is a great example of how those who deal with the world are much more resourceful than those who deal with the faith. So though he calls those who deal with the faith the children of light. Interesting how resourceful we can be when it comes to the things of this world. And he talks about the use of prudence here, right? And prudence being one of the four cardinal virtues. We have prudence, fortitude, temperance, and justice. And prudence, the most important of the four cardinal virtues. And cardinal meaning, the word cardinal literally means hinge. So the moral life, the life of choosing, doing the right, hinges on these moral cardinal virtues. And so prudence is about two things. It is about our reason, being able to discern what is the good that we need to do, and the means to achieve that particular good. St. Thomas Aquinas defined prudence as right reason and action. But I like the fuller description or definition of prudence in the sense of that there's two kind of works that that prudence does. It's got to identify what is good and the means to attain it. All right. So there's natural prudence and there's supernatural prudence. And natural prudence has to do with what Jesus was speaking about, dealing with the things of this world. And the things of this world are good. So the natural prudence is important. So natural prudence would have to do with self-preservation, with thriving in society, right? With success in this world. There are good things about natural prudence, and we have to use it each and every day. So, you know, you think about just health. Well, I know that I need to eat. In order to take care of my body, I need to eat healthily. So prudence would say, okay, health is a good thing. That's what we're trying to attain. And we're going to, the means to do this is through good nutrition. So now prudence is also going to take into fact my own weaknesses. So my strengths, weaknesses, vulnerabilities. I like to eat Dairy Queen blizzards, right? And so it would be not a good idea for me to live next to a Dairy Queen because I would not be able to achieve the goal here, the good here of health, because I would be there breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We use natural prudence constantly throughout the day in making decisions about our life. Strive to get 8 hours of sleep, right? And in order so that our mind and our body is able to be engaged in what we're doing and being connected. And so that means we have to make decisions about how we structure our day so that we get enough sleep, enough rest. So we're constantly using natural prudence. Now, supernatural prudence concerns our highest goal, our ultimate end, which is what? The goal of heaven, right? What we're made for. On Friday evening, I went with my sister and brother-in-law for his birthday to the Mumford & Sons concert in Kansas City. So they're my favorite group. Well, right behind the Blessed Sacrament Choir. So we got there, and I hadn't been to Sandstone before, it was pretty hard to find a seat. We were on kind of the grassy knoll, so we sat down, and we were seated there, and there was all this kind of weird smoke that was being emitted, and we didn't know what it was, but it might have been barbecue. Okay, so, one of my favorite songs of theirs is Awake My Soul. What Marcus Mumford is singing about is like how the refrain goes. He says three times, Awake My Soul, Awake My Soul, Awake My Soul, for you were made to meet your Maker. For you were made to meet your Maker. And then anticipating this refrain of Awake My Soul, he's speaking to himself, right? Come, wake up here. You were meant to meet your Maker. He says, where you invest your love, you invest your life. And so, here is a secular band, but communicating an important truth that really connects with what we believe as Christians, in the sense of we were meant to meet our Maker, right? So where do we invest our focus? Where do we put our energy? And that we have to kind of like wake up our soul. Hey, remember why you're here. It's not just for, to achieve as much natural success as possible. We were meant to make our Maker, and so we've got to stimulate ourselves. We've got to revitalize ourselves, and so we can focus on what that highest good is, so that we don't get caught up in merely lowly and earthly things. And I love that my favorite line of that song really is, where we invest our love, we invest our life. So it's about what we love, what we come to love. I speak at least every other week I mention the new evangelization in my homilies. Because the new evangelization really is about stimulating and creating and energizing that primary relationship of love with God. There's been 1,000 different descriptions of what the new evangelization is, and it's hard to define because it's about love. You can't define love, right? You can only really describe love. And so the more that we're captivated and captured in the love of God, right, the more that we're going to invest our life into the things of God. And that's really the way that we awake our soul. Because ultimately, in the end, when it comes down to prudence, and prudence choosing the good which is for us at both the natural and supernatural level, we were made, ultimately, not for this earth, but to meet our Maker.